RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo says revoke licenses of hospitals rejecting Indonesian health card keys holders. The cost of Indonesia Hajj trip, the lowest in the Asian Association of Southeast Asian Nations, ASEAN. The Investment Coordinating Board, BKPM, to issue procedures for applying for tax allowances. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has ordered the revocation of the licenses of private hospitals that are denying health care service to residents holding Indonesian health card or KIS. He said he will insist all private hospitals nationwide admit and serve KIS holders. President also said when visiting Temuwangi 2 State Elementary School in Padan, Klaten, Central Java on Monday, so far only state-owned hospitals have obliged and not all private hospitals will accept the KIS holders and he will force them to serve KIS holders. During the visit, the president distributed KIS, Indonesian Smart Card, KIP, and Prosperous Family Card, or KKS, to several residents who were representing villagers. He added that it was pointless for him to become president if he could not be tough. He stressed that all residents have to be given access to health care, both in state-owned hospitals and private ones. Chairman of the House Commission 8 of Indonesian House, Saleh Partoanan Daulay, said the cost of organizing the Hajj in 2015 was the lowest in Southeast Asia after a DPR or the House, Indonesian House and the government, efficiency and rationalization of all components. Saleh Partoanan Daulay, through a press release received in Jakarta, escorted by Republika, said it is not true if someone said that the cost in Indonesia is more expensive than the neighboring countries. Saleh said he was seeking information about Hajj costs in some neighboring countries. Previously, a country which was considered with the most inexpensive set of the Hajj cost was Malaysia. It is different with previous years. This year, Indonesia's Hajj cost is certainly lower than Malaysia. The last 2 years, the Hajj cost in Malaysia is 9,980 ringgit Malaysia, or 36,526,800 IDR. Meanwhile, he said 2015 has been set the Hajj cost as $2,717 or equivalent to 33,962 million IDR. Meanwhile, when compared with Singapore last year, the most inexpensive Hajj cost was Singapore, which was 6,990 Singapore dollar, and the highest was 13,650 Singapore dollar. That's equivalent to 67 million IDR to 131 million IDR. The Investment Coordinating Board, BKPM, is set to issue a regulation on Monday on the procedure for applying for tax allowances. This regulation will be the implementation of Government Regulation No. 18/2015 on the granting of tax allowances to investors engaged in certain business fields and/or operating in certain areas, and it will replace Government Regulation No. 52/2011. BKPM Chairman Frankie Sebarani said on Sunday, as reported by Antara News Agency, with the new regulation, investors can apply for tax allowances using new mechanisms. The government regulation and all its implementation guidelines will take effect on May 6th, in line with a decision reached at a coordination meeting led by the Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs on April 30th. Frankie said, the BKPM regulation would contain procedures and requirements for applying for the facility through the one-stop integrated service at the BKPM office. He said the regulation shows the government's strong commitment to implementing investment licensing and non-licensing processes in a quick, simple, transparent, and integrated manner. The repatriation of Indonesian stock in disaster-stricken Nepal may commence as soon as Tuesday, Indonesia's top military commander says. More than 50 Indonesians are stuck in the Himalayan nation that was struck by a devastating 7.8 magnitude earthquake late last month. Six Indonesians are still unaccounted for. Indonesian Armed Forces TNI Chief General Muldoko told reporters in Jakarta on Monday. Rescue teams and paramedics were flown to Nepal via a military-owned Hercules and a Garuda Indonesia Airbus last week. Members of the Armed Forces, Foreign Ministry, and a representative of the Taruna Hiking Club have also traveled with the Indonesian relief team. Among the six Indonesians still missing are three climbers who have been identified as Alma Parahita, Kadek Andana, and Jarun Hewat. The death toll from last month's devastating earthquake climbed to over 7,000, Nepal authorities confirmed on Sunday. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Asian Development Bank ADB President Takehiko Nakao said the latest ADB Asian Economic Outlook report was still charting a positive picture for the Indonesian economy this year, predicting that the government's policy reforms will have an impact on economic growth sooner than expected. Takehiko Nakao, at a seminar themed Rethinking Growth Potential and the Growth Model, in Azerbaijan on Sunday, the ADB forecast Indonesia to grow by 5.5% this year and 6% in 2016, far more optimistic than estimates from the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund, IMF, which said the economy would grow by 5.2% this year. However, the ADB projection is based on the assumption that the new government's rapid reform momentum will be maintained, especially the acceleration in infrastructure building and budget disbursement. Indonesian Minister of Finance Bambang Brojonegoro said in Azerbaijan on Sunday that the 1998 Asian economic crisis and the 2008 global financial crisis had prompted Indonesia to adopt a new growth model that emphasizes inclusive and sustainable development with less dependence on commodities and on international markets. Bambang told a seminar on Asia's growth potential on the sidelines of the annual meeting of the Asian Development Bank, ADB, that the 2008 global financial crisis also gave Indonesia a highly valuable lesson that it is not economically sustainable to depend too heavily on commodities and the international market. The minister cited macroeconomic and financial sector stability, less dependence on commodities, downstreaming or manufacturing of the natural resources and connectivity to global supply chains as several of the main ingredients for inclusive and sustainable growth. The last item, Communications and Information Minister Rudiantara has disclosed that the government will start realigning the 1,800 MHz frequency on Monday in preparation for the application of fourth generation or 4G mobile services. Rudiantara said on Sunday evening, as quoted by Compass.com, the realignment of the 1,800 MHz frequency will start on Monday and is projected to take place in 6 months. He said it will start not from Java but North Maluku. As part of the realignment, Rudiantara has coordinated with the National Consumers Protection Agency on the dissemination of information about any possible impacts during the realignment process. The impacts that may arise may be in the form of temporary worsening quality of services. The minister said that his ministry has been informed by the operators who are to realign the 1,008 MHz frequency through the cluster system or stepwise method about where will be step-by-step interchangeable frequency migration. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. President Joko Widodo says revoke licenses of hospitals rejecting Indonesian health card keys holders. The cost of Indonesian Hajj trip, the lowest in the Association of Southeast Asian Nations ASEAN. The Investment Coordinating Board BKPM to issue procedures for applying for tax allowances. That was the news. Welcome to commentary entitled Junior High Exam Begins Today. Today, Monday, May 4, 2015, students of secondary school or SMP in Indonesia begin the national exam. This will last until May 7, 2015, covering four subjects, namely the Indonesian language, mathematics, English, and natural sciences or IPA. This year, the national exam is not used as determinant of graduation, as was the case in previous years. There are two methods used in the national exam this year, namely computer-based test or CBT and paper-based test PBT. Since basically this is still a trial, few schools are implementing CBT. Only those that express readiness and pass the verification tests of the Ministry of Education and Culture can carry out the test in this way. Even in Jakarta, there is only one school which stated readiness, whereas in Central Java province, there are seven schools. According to the Ministry of Education and Culture, as a whole for the junior high school level, this year there are 41 schools that have implemented CBT. In addition to the one in Jakarta and seven in Central Java, two Indonesian schools abroad have also implemented CBT, namely the Indonesian school in Singapore and in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. In line with a decree of the Head of Research and Development of the Ministry of Education and Culture, there are 556 schools that organize a computer-based or CBT national exam, 41 of which are junior high schools. Actually, the implementation of CBT national exam is not much different with PBT national exam or ordinary national exam. According to Ari Budiman, head of Jakarta Education Department, a school is allowed to organize a national computer-based exam following certain conditions, among others, having a number of computers in the school laboratories that meets the ratio of 1 to 3. That is, there is one computer for three students. The second condition, internet connections in schools must meet a network test after the software is injected into each computer. Actually, a lot of schools have met the criteria in terms of facilities, but still, it will take up to 3 years to organize CBT national examinations, simultaneously throughout Indonesia. There are several differences between the 2015 and 2014 national examinations. Joko Sukamto, headmaster of SMP Negeri 19 in South Jakarta, told Tempo there are three differences. Firstly, the exam this year is not used as a determinant of graduation, while in 2014 it was. Secondly, the test material in 2015 consists of only 5 packages, while in 2014 there are 20 packages. Thirdly, there is a supplementary exam for students who are unable to follow it on the day. Even students who do not pass are provided with an opportunity for re-examination, whereas in 2014 there was no such things. Thus, the national exam this year is more loose, although it is still a consideration to continue education to a higher level. There are many things that relieve the students in the national examination this year. However, if the exam is still used as the basis for consideration for students to continue their education to a higher level, the possibility of it becomes a scourge for them still remains. It is not easy to set a uniform education for all schools in this vast country, including Indonesian schools abroad. However, it remains to be studied and carefully thought out on the most effective way to test the competence of students both at elementary, middle, and upper levels. By the end of 2015, the ASEAN Economic Community will be applied to all member states, including Indonesia. Related to this, Indonesia must have strong human resources with expertise, thus allowing them to compete in the ASEAN free market era. For that, Indonesia needs to seriously think about the most effective way to deal with that era. It should also be considered whether or not the national exam is held and taken into consideration to step up to a higher level. That was commentary today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, meet again with me in our regular Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We start from an event which happened on May 4, 1979, when Margaret Hilda Thatcher became Prime Minister. Margaret Hilda Thatcher was the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom from 1979 to 1990 and the leader of the Conservative Party from 1975 to 1990. She was the longest-serving British Prime Minister of the 20th century and is the only woman to have held the office. A Soviet journalist called her the Iron Lady, a nickname that becomes associated with her uncompromising politics and leadership style. As Prime Minister, she implemented policies that have come to be known as Thatcherism. Originally a research chemist before becoming a barrister, Thatcher was elected Member of Parliament for Finchley in 1959. Edward Heath appointed her Secretary of State for Education and Science in his 1970 government. In 1975, Thatcher defeated Heath in the Conservative Party leadership election to become leader of the opposition and became the first woman to lead a major political party in the United Kingdom. She became Prime Minister after winning the 1979 general election. After a series of small strokes in 2002, she was advised to withdraw from public speaking, and in 2013, she died of another stroke in London at the age of 87. And the next event was in 1945 when Nazi was officially dismissed. Nazi Germany, or the Third Reich, was the period of the history of Germany from 1933 to 1945, when it was a dictatorship under the control of Adolf Hitler and the Nazi Party and SDAP. Under Hitler's rule, Germany was transformed into a fascist totalitarian state which controlled nearly all aspects of life. Nazi Germany ceased to exist after the Allied forces defeated Germany in May 1945, ending World War II in Europe. The party's leader since 1921, Adolf Hitler, was appointed Chancellor of Germany by President Paul von Hindenburg in 1933. Hitler rapidly established a totalitarian regime known as the Third Reich. Following the defeat of the Third Reich at the conclusion of World War II in Europe, the party was declared to be illegal by the Allied powers who performed denazification in the years after the war. And the next event was in 1946 when Tengku Nyak Arif died. Tengku Nyak Arif, who was born on July 17, 1899 and died on May 4, 1946, was an Achenese nationalist and national hero of Indonesia. He has been given the nickname Rencong of Aceh after the traditional Achenese weapon for his bravery. On 16 May 1927, Nyak Arif was selected to join the People's Council of Aceh or Volkslar Aceh in addition to his duties as chief of Sagi 27 Mukim. As a member of the council, he would consistently criticize Dutch policies which he found to go against the interests of the Achenese people. In another speech, he said that the Aceh War was far from over. On January 27, 1930, he joined the national fraction of Fraksi Nasional led by Muhammad Husni Tamrin. Nyak Arif left the council in 1931 after the Japanese surrender to the Allies and proclamation of Indonesian independence in 1945. On October the 3rd, Nyak Arif was chosen to be the first resident of Aceh. In this position, he oversaw the Japanese withdrawal from Aceh after refusing the Allies the right to do so. Despite clashes with some Japanese troops in Biren, they were eventually all disarmed and returned to their homeland. On January 17, 1946, he was declared a titular Major General while he served as a staff member to the Sumatran military commander. He died on April the 4th of the same year as from complications from diabetes in Takengon and was buried in Lam Nyong Family Cemetery. On November 9, 1974, Nyak Arif was declared a National Hero of Indonesia by President Suharto through Presidential Decree 071/DK/1974. And listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. For today's edition, the focus is about the Indonesian government search and evacuation team forming citizens in Nepal. The Indonesian government has established a team to search and evacuate Indonesian citizens after the earthquake on 25 of April 2015 in Nepal. The team consists of a combination of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, the Indonesian Army, and volunteers from the National Disaster Management Agency. They departed from Indonesia on April 29, 2015, by using a Boeing 737-400 aircraft belonging to the Air Force. After the earthquake, the Indonesian government has been seeking assistance from Nepal and other countries joined in the search and rescue operations to search for and find citizens who could not be contacted until now. Data released by the Indonesian Citizens Search and Evacuation Team after the earthquake in Nepal mentioned that there are 97 citizens missing when the earthquake happened. They consist of 66 people who were visiting Nepal and 31 other people who live in Nepal. Indonesian Ambassador to Bangladesh and Nepal, Iwan Wiranata Atmaja, when giving information to the media in Kathmandu, Nepal on Sunday, May the 3rd, said that every day there is always progress in searching and evacuating citizens in Nepal, and the search will be carried out till May the 5th, 2015, or depending on the situation.
WNI kemarin ini masih ada dua orang.
Until yesterday, Saturday, May the 2nd, there were still two people that could not be contacted, but now is only one out of 31. Thank God, so every day there is a development. Of the 8 who cannot be contacted, now is only 5 left. It is also a step forward. And those who have returned to Indonesia are 38 people. And God willing, we would see the situation of evacuation of our citizens in Nepal to be led by Lieutenant Colonel Intan Gilang will be conducted no later than the 5th of May or depending on the situation. That was the updates on the citizen situation. Meanwhile, in the same occasion, Commander of Search and Evacuation of Citizens in Nepal team, Air Force Lieutenant Colonel Intan Gilang said that the search for the missing citizen, especially three people who could not be contacted, namely Jaron Hewat, Kadek Andana, and Alma Parhita, was continued through the air by hiring a helicopter heading to Lantang National Park, Nepal.
Yang kita lakukan saat itu adalah langsung berkomunikasi dengan
What we are doing at the moment is directly communicating with the locals. Some could speak English, so we showed photos of the three Indonesians, then inquired if they had seen them. The helicopter remained running, so we only had a few minutes to ask and communicate from the information we had. He never interacted with them and did not know about their existence. Furthermore, Intan Gilang said, after finding no trace of the three Indonesians who have been lost in Langitang area, together with the search and evacuation team directly flew toward Kanjing Gompa area to search for information on their whereabouts. There, the search and evacuation teams also talked to local people and got information that there was no Nepali army post near the area that had collected 40 bodies of earthquake victims, 37 were citizens of Nepal, and the remaining 3 were foreign nationals, but it has been confirmed that the foreigners are not from Indonesia. Besides through the air, the search and evacuation team also searched through the land by using a car to the area of Danchi, about 12 hours by road from the city of Kathmandu. The team also went around Kathmandu and earthquake victims, handling points which are also safe houses for Indonesian citizen survivors who will be evacuated by the Indonesian government back to the homeland. That was focus of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener, here is our today's headlines taken from several dailies published in Jakarta today, May 4, 2015. We start from Kompas Daily, which writes, "Rice business is uncontrollable. The price of rice in some areas remains high when harvest time comes. Traders in some rice production centers are looking for rice. They dare to bargain at a high price. The impact is state logistic agency or Bulog officers are facing difficulty in getting rice for food reserves. A number of rice production areas such as Karawang, Subang, Indramayu, Tegal, Grobongan, as well as some districts in Lampung and South Sulawesi reported that as of last week until Sunday, May the 3rd, the quality of the rice in the first half of season is excellent, although pests attack some places. Amid such a situation, traders become rulers of the rice business. In some areas, they hunt rice. Not only that, in Karawang Regency, they set up stalls and rice warehouses. However, their goals of buying the rice are unknown." Koran Tempo writes, "Attorney General denies Indonesian police's chief reason." Attorney General Prasetyo denied allegation that the Attorney General's office had requested to accelerate the investigation on Corruption Eradication Commission KPK's investigator, Novel Baswedan. According to him, the prosecutor is not authorized to interfere with Novel's cases because it is still in the investigation stage. Prasetyo said his case file was not yet fully handed over to the public prosecutor. Prasetyo's statement denied National Police Chief General Badruddin Haiti, who said that the arrest of Novel was based on the demand of the prosecutor. Chairman of the Law Indonesia Corruption Watch, Emerson Nyunto, meanwhile said the denial of the Attorney General indicates that Novel's arrest by the police last week is baseless. And we end today's headline with Business Indonesia, which writes transport entrepreneurs experience large loss. Freight business communities lose billions of dollars due to commercial vehicles bought cannot operate due to slow process of issuing test type registration letter, or SRUT, by the Ministry of Transportation. Interference in policing the permit has lasted at least about 4 to 6 months following the Minister of Transport Policy Ignatius Jonan to reform the system and procedures of permit enforcement and collection of non-tax state revenue. And listener, that was headlines.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, at en.voi.co.id.
You are still tuned to Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, and here now, news in brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has ordered the revocation of the licenses of private hospitals that are denying healthcare service to residents holding Indonesian health card or KIS. He said he will insist all private hospitals nationwide admit and serve KIS holders. Chairman of House Commission 8, Saleh Partaunan Daulay, said the cost of organizing the Hajj in 2015 was the lowest in Southeast Asia after DPR and the government efficiency and rationalization of all components. Saleh Partaunan Daulay, through a press release received in Jakarta Sunday escorted by Republika, said it is not true if someone says that the cost in Indonesia is more expensive than the neighboring countries. The Investment Coordinating Board BKPM is set to issue a regulation on Monday on the procedure for applying for tax allowances. This regulation will be the implementation of Government Regulation No. 18/2015 on the granting of tax allowances to investors engaged in certain business fields and/or operating in certain areas, and it will replace Government Regulation No. 52/2011. The repatriation of Indonesians stuck in disaster-stricken Nepal may commence as soon as Tuesday, Indonesia's top military commander says. Asian Development Bank ADB President Takehiko Nakao said the latest ADB Asian Economic Outlook report was still charting a positive picture for the Indonesian economy this year, predicting that the government's policy reforms will have an impact on economic growth sooner than expected. Indonesian Minister for Finance Bambang Brojonegoro said in Azerbaijan on Sunday that the 1998 Asian economic crisis and the 2008 global financial crisis had prompted Indonesia to adopt a new growth model that emphasizes inclusive and sustainable development with less dependence on commodities and on international markets. Communications and Information Minister Rudiantara has disclosed that the government will start realigning the 1,800 MHz frequency on Monday in preparation for the application of fourth generation or 4G mobile services. That was news in brief.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015.
Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? 9. Please write your opinion in brief about Indonesia in 500 words. Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder, and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, as well as arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. I'm Steve. In today's edition, I will introduce you to the Buncis art from Banyumas Regency in the Central Java Province. Stay tuned. Listener, for Banyumas people in Central Java, buncis or beans are not only vegetable, but also one of local traditional arts. Buncis art is a folk art performance. According to the story, this art has existed since the 17th century as a folk entertainment. Then, this art developed in the Dutch colonial, so that buncis art became a spirit and motivation for the fighters. Listener, buncis art is a combination between dance and music art. The dancers consist of 8 male players. The 8 men also function as musical players. They wear tassel clothes which function to cover their lower part of the bodies, and also wear crown on their heads which are made from chicken feathers. They play music while dancing. The musical instrument which is used in buncis art performance is angklung, or the bamboo musical instrument, which Slendro tone. Slendro tone is tones arrangement in one octave which consists of basic tones. In the buncis art, each player brings a musical instrument which has different tone. 6 players hold instruments with tone 2 or ro, 3 or lu, 5 or ma, 6 or nem, 1 or hai ji, and also another 2 or hai ro. Meanwhile, 2 players hold gendang or percussion and gong. Listener, the rhythm which is created from angklung in Bunji's art has no pattern. From 6 tones in angklung which are played, only 5 are played by shaking it. Only one instrument is played in a pattern, namely the 2 or high roll, which is shaken continuously among other rhythm. This pattern is known as ngchruki. The performance of the tones through angklung is ended with the sound of gong which is stricken in the end of the song. Listener, Bunji's art doesn't show luxury. Costumes of the dancers are very simple and homely. It can be understood because this art is a creation of the fighters in the colonial times. According to the Banyumas humanist, the birth of Bunji's art was related to the struggle of Banyumas people to fight against the Dutch colonial. In the spare time on the sidelines of their struggle against the Dutch, the fighters often expressed their fighting spirit in the art forms, combining dance, sound and music. The word bunjis came from two words, bundelan and jis. Bundelan means knot or something that could be used as guidelines, while jis means spoken words. So, bunjis can be meant as a word or advice for the ancestors. So, bunjis can be meant as words or advice of the ancestors, which should be used as guidelines. Listener, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today. We will meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Thank you very much for listening and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello, listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today we feature a topic entitled Di Toko Buku, or in English means at the bookstore. Stay tuned. As usual, I will introduce you to vocabulary and expression that related to today's topic of conversation. I'll say the sentence twice, slowly, and you can repeat after me. Toko buku, which means bookstore. Bantu, bantu, which means help. Membeli, which means to buy. Kamusaku, which means pocket dictionary. Dwi bahasa, which means bilingual. Terbaru, which means newest. Indonesia, which means Indonesia. English, which means England. Lihat, which means to see. Tentu saja, which means of course. Berapa harganya, which means how much. Sebenarnya, which means really or actually. Seratus ribu rupiah, which means 100,000 rupiah. Hari Pendidikan Nasional, which means the National Education Day. Tanggal 2, which means on 2nd. Bulan Mei. Bulan Mei, which means May. Seluruh. Seluruh, which means entire or the whole or all. Buku. Buku, which means book. Potongan harga. Potongan harga, which means discount. 25%. 25%, which means 25%. Uang. Uang, which means money. Tidak cukup. Tidak cukup, which means not enough. Bungkus. Bungkus, which means cover. Now, we give you an example of conversation entitled Di Toko Buku, or in English means at the bookstore. The conversation is between A. Shopkeeper and B. Mary at the bookstore. A. Shopkeeper. Ada yang bisa saya bantu? Ada yang bisa saya bantu? Which means, can I help you? B. Mary. Saya ingin membeli kamus saku. Saya ingin membeli kamus saku, which means I want to buy a pocket dictionary. A. Shopkeeper. Apakah kamus dwi bahasa? Apakah kamus dwi bahasa, which means bilingual dictionary? B. Mary. Ya, betul. Ya, betul, which means yes, that's right. A. Shopkeeper. Ini kamus saku Inggris Indonesia dan Indonesia Inggris terbaru. Ini kamus saku Inggris Indonesia dan Indonesia Inggris terbaru. Which means, this is the newest English Indonesian and Indonesian English pocket dictionary. B. Mary. Bolehkah saya lihat dulu? Bolehkah saya lihat dulu? Which means, may I see it? A. Shopkeeper. Tentu saja. Tentu saja, which means sure, of course. B. Mary. Saya mau membeli kamus ini. Berapa harganya? Saya mau membeli kamus ini. Berapa harganya? Which means I want to buy this dictionary. How much is it? A. Shopkeeper. Sebenarnya harganya Rp100.000, tetapi dalam rangka Hari Pendidikan Nasional pada tanggal 2 Mei, maka seluruh buku di toko ini ada potongan harga 25%. Sebenarnya harganya Rp100.000, tetapi dalam rangka Hari Pendidikan Nasional pada tanggal 2 Mei, maka seluruh buku-buku di toko ini ada potongan harga 25%, which means actually the price is 100,000 rupiah, but on the occasion of the National Education Day on May the 2nd, all books in this store get a discount of 25%. B. Mary. Oh, kebetulan sekali. Oh, kebetulan sekali, which means I'm lucky. Kalau tidak ada potongan harga, uangku tidak cukup. Kalau tidak ada potongan harga, uangku tidak cukup, which means my money is not enough if there is no discount. Ini uangnya, tolong dibungkus. Ini uangnya, tolong dibungkus, which means here is the money, I take it. A. Shopkeeper. Baiklah, ini kamusnya. Baiklah, ini kamusnya, which means okay, here is the book. That was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again with a different topic. Thanks for your attention. See you and sampai jumpa.
Is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? 9. Please write your opinion in brief about Indonesia in 500 words. Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Daulat Pani, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, I will present you keroncong songs sung by an Indonesian female singer, Tati Supangat. Well, listener, now let's listen to the first song entitled Lamunan Kalbu. Here is the song.
Puspa hening suram mengerikan pedih pilu nan menyayang kau menjelang jiwaku dalam alun pantai
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz. 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.